This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. With your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate with me today, as he is on Tuesdays. Charlie Grimes, your engineer. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, joining us as well. Jordan, how are you, sir?
Great to be with you.
Always good. Andy, how are you today?
Doing well.
Hanging in there?
Doing well, yeah.
In spite of?
Oh, no, I had a really good time this morning. I spoke at an event here in town, so I had a lot of fun and just kind of tired. You know how that goes.
I get it. No,
prepping
I get
for
it.
Those things.
All right, before we get into things with Jordan, real quick, both of you may or may not have seen the news, but the iPod is over. No more.
I did see that. Yes.
No more. Done deal.
Why?
I think it's been supplanted by the iPhone.
I'm guessing the iPhone and, you know, those types of devices have replaced it. No longer needed. I guess sales probably, you know. So you have to ask the question, Jordan. Do you think Steve Jobs back in the day knew that day would come?
Yes. Yes, he was always innovating.
I think
and,
so, too.
And trying to come up with things that would make his existing product line obsolete. And they kept doing it.
Yep, and I think you're right. I agree with that.
They continue to do it. So I think he'd be happy with that.
All right, so let's get right into it. Question of the day I'll get to next hour, so never fear. We'll get to that. I wanted to spend plenty of time with Jordan today because we have lots to talk about because there's a lot going on, as you know, Jordan. Not that we didn't expect some of this to arrive, but it is here. Stock market, it's up one day, down the next, down the next, down the next. I mean, is there any sight or is there anything, how should I say, any reprieve in this roller coaster of what's going on there?
Well, I mean, the fundamental reasons why it's been going down continue, which is that interest rates are rising and will continue to rise. The Federal Reserve is clearly on a path to try to catch up from what it should have been doing quite a while, actually.
Right.
They raised rates in early May by 50 basis points. They've got five more meetings this year. They'll raise rates probably 50 basis points at each of those five meetings, which would bring the Fed funds rate they control up to about 3%.
And will crash the economy.
But the inflation is already at 8.5%. We're going to get a new CPI tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's their numbers. I'm saying still that it's higher than that.
Well, I agree. The reality is it's higher than that. But whatever it is, it's way above 1% or even 3%.
Yep.
So they're really behind the eight ball trying to catch up here. And that's affecting all kinds of things. It's affecting the housing market, where you're seeing home sales starting to slow a little bit. You're seeing mortgage refinancings plunge 70% over a year ago at the same time. Mortgage rates have gone up to about 5.5%. And this is what the Fed's trying to do, is engineer what they call a soft landing. It doesn't feel too soft for people to get hurt by it.
And as I said a moment ago, if they do what you just said, which they likely are, they'll kill it. I don't understand why these guys can't understand what we on the streets do. I don't get it. Are they just so insulated, Jordan, from the real world, they don't understand what really goes on out here
in
the real world?
They are very insulated. Yes, they are very insulated from the real world. It's a bunch of numbers to them, really, and equations. And
well, they should start coming down to the Rush to Reason 3 o'clock with Jordan Goodman episodes and listen in on what the real world has to say, because if they raise it to the point of what you're talking, and I believe they will, they're going to crash the economy.
Well, I mean, that's what Volcker did in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. Inflation got out of control, and that's the kind of role model, I guess you might say. Inflation got up to about 18% at that time. They raised rates to over 20%, and it did crash the economy. In 81, 82, we had a severe recession, but it did kill the inflation dragon for a long time. That's the way they think. But I mean, I've said on this show before, I do not think that raising interest rates is going to solve the inflation problem
we have. No, it isn't. You're correct.
It's for other reasons that the Federal Reserve has little or no control over. And let's go through them. Oil prices are
energy.
Going up. Raising interest rates does not lower oil prices. Oil prices are high because of supply-demand imbalance. We have not producing enough supply, and demand is still very high. And the supply is less because of the embargo against Russian oil.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been cutting back on production in the United States. We are now going hat in hand to wonderful places like Venezuela and Iran for asking for their oil. Okay, this is a self-inflicted wound, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
So the higher oil prices and natural gas, which has surged. Natural gas is up to about $9 an MCF. It was like $4 not that recently.
Right.
It just surged dramatically.
Right.
So that affects the cost of heating people's homes. And electricity goes up because oil and gas power the electric plants.
That's right.
So that all of that, to me, is not affected by higher
interest rates. And one last thing that you're leaving out here is the supply chain issues, which, again, the Fed doesn't control
either.
But that's another one that's driving prices up.
And the supply chain is getting worse.
That's right.
For several reasons. The whole war with Russia and Ukraine is dramatically reducing output of fertilizer and grains and aluminum and cobalt and just all kinds of things that we're not getting them. And so there's a tremendous shortage of these kind of things. In China, the dramatic, I would say draconian lockdown, the zero COVID policy, is dramatically upsetting the supply chain. Factories are being closed, ships aren't moving, people are literally locked in their apartments. So that we're getting hit on both sides. And then domestically, the supply chain is still a mess. We don't have enough truckers, we don't have enough ports, we don't have enough longshoremen. The whole system is just jammed up terribly. So that is inflationary. All that is inflationary. You have not enough goods and too much money chasing the fewer goods. And we have things like, the big story right now is there's a complete lack of baby formula.
Saw that.
The shelves are empty of baby formula. This is like Soviet Russia in 1950. Mm-hmm. This is not America in 2022. But we have shortages of goods all over the place. So that's inflationary. Okay, the labor shortage is also inflationary. Businesses have to raise their wages to attract more workers. Last week, the numbers came out, 11.5 million unfilled jobs, all-time record high. The previous month was 11.2 million. And over 4 million people quit their jobs in April.
Yeah.
So the ones they've got, they're quitting, and there's not enough people to replace them. That is inflationary as well, because employers have to raise wages to keep people on the job. That, again, is not affected by rising interest rates. So all these factors, that's why I think inflation's got a momentum of its own here.
I agree.
It's not really going to be affected by the Fed's got one hammer to hit the nail, which is interest rates. There are other nails that need to be hammered here that they have no power over.
I agree.
Yeah, Jordan.
I will add on top of that, by the way, that the fiscal spending and the monetary spending in the last few years is adding to inflation. Now, that's something they do have control over. And the Fed Reserve said they are going to cut back on the balance sheet, which got up to over $9 trillion. Okay, so they're going to start reducing that. So that's something. But, I mean, they've had a huge expansion of the money supply the last few years, and that's inflationary. And then on the fiscal side, the government's been spending huge amounts on recovery and COVID and all kinds of different things. The deficit's still very high. So all those things add to the inflationary fires.
You know, Jordan, though, we have a very unusual situation here in economics, in that you actually know what's coming. I mean, oftentimes you have no idea, gee, what will the Fed do next time around, a little up, a little down. And there's so many factors. Right now, you know what's coming. You know what the Fed's going to do the next several times, at least some version of it. You know a lot of things that are going to work and not work. And so because we have such a clear roadmap ahead of us, could you maybe provide people with advice, okay, or tools and things that they should go to that can help them get through times like this and maybe even seize opportunity in times like this?
When you have higher interest rates, as we have coming more, that reduces the price-earnings ratio on stocks, particularly the high-flying stocks. And those are the ones that have been hit the most. The Pelotons and the Zooms and the Etsy's and the, mm-hmm. you know, the high-flying stocks have been hit down 40, 50, 60, 80% in many cases, just dramatically so. So that's the place you want to avoid, is the kind of high-flying stocks that had been doing so well for the last 2 years, basically. The recovery from the pandemic from March 2020 to you know, pretty recently was led by these high-tech, high-flying stocks. They're the most vulnerable mm-hmm. right now.
Right.
So you want to be in more conservative, dividend-oriented, domestic companies. I mean, a Procter & Gamble would be an example of that.
Right.
Or defense companies, Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman, those kind of companies. There's obviously huge demand for what they're doing. Cybersecurity, a company like a Palo Alto Networks would be a good example. There are areas of the economy that are going to do well and are recession-resistant and not necessarily tied to interest rates either. So that's where I think you'd want to be putting your money. Bonds are going to keep getting hurt. As interest rates keep rising, you're going to continue to lose money in bonds, particularly long-term bonds. So that's just not a place you want to be. And having some cash is not a bad thing.
Right, I agree.
You don't earn anything on it, but you don't lose anything on it.
Yeah, that's right. You still have it. That's right.
Crypto is getting hurt.
It is big time. Yes.
Bitcoin's down to about 31,000.
Yep.
It had been as high as 65,000.
I was going to say it's half of where it was.
It is.
Jordan, what's acting on that? What's driving crypto specifically?
It's considered what they would say a risk-on asset. So when it correlates to the NASDAQ, basically. And when the stock market was flying and all these high-tech companies and all these IPOs were coming out, that was driving. And a lot of it was the Fed Reserve money was going into the system pushing up crypto. That's all being reversed now. So higher interest rates, less speculative fever, the money being withdrawn instead of added, has taken the air out of the crypto bubble.
Mm-hmm. Agree. All right. Hold that thought. Great segue. Craig in Wheat Ridge, I know you got a question for Jordan. We'll come back, answer that in a moment. Anybody else that has questions, please let us know. You can text us, 307-200-8222. I've got one of those I'll read through this break. And then you can also call us, you know, live on air, 303-477-5600. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, folks. And as we talk through things to help you when it comes to, you know, saving money, controlling money, and all of that, the one thing you want to do is make sure you're not spending more on fuel than you need to. Keep your vehicle in top working order. That's the best way to do that. No, buying a new car isn't the best way to save money. We'll talk about that as we go through this hour as well. KLZradio.com, 303-841-1071.
A lot of auto repair shops have maybe one master technician on staff, if any. But the team at Extreme Auto Repair values their customers' time and money. They never want to replace parts unnecessarily. There's a difference between looking at the scan tool and diagnosing the problem. The scan tool tells you where the problem is located, not what the problem is. An accurate diagnosis gives you the peace of mind that you're not overspending on unnecessary repairs. By the time you go through levels A, B, and C to reach master technician status, you become a replacement artist, meaning you don't guess, you diagnose. A less experienced technician might see an issue with the module and stop there, recommending that you replace the whole module for over $1,000. But the module could have nothing wrong except for a bad connector or a crooked pin, a much cheaper fix. Get an accurate diagnosis from the ASE certified master technicians at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises kept.
All right, reverse mortgages. Again, we'll talk about some of these things as well. Maybe a way for you to capitalize on some of the equity in your home. Talk to Bruce Simmons from American Liberty Mortgage if that's something you think might be a good choice for you. 303-467-7821 or find Bruce at klzradio.com.
Convert a portion of your home's value into cash without making a monthly mortgage payment. Call Bruce Simmons now at 303-467-7821. The equity in your home does not benefit you in retirement unless you convert some of your home's value into cash. You can't spend equity on food or gas. To convert housing wealth into cash, you really only have three options. You could sell the house, but then you have nowhere to live. You could get a new mortgage, but then you'd still have a mortgage payment to make every month. The federally insured reverse mortgage program, known as the Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, allows you to convert a portion of your home's value into cash without making a monthly payment. The only requirements are that you continue living in the home as your primary residence, keep paying your taxes and insurance, and maintain the home. Nobody can explain reverse mortgages better than Bruce Simmons, so call him now at 303-467-7821. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Folks, ransomware is rampant. I had a meeting today on this very subject, and don't be a victim of it. And the question I have for you, if you especially own a business and have, you know, important documents and things you run your business off of, what if they weren't there tomorrow because they were seized? If you don't know the answer to how to keep them from being seized, you need Denver IT Security. Lots of things that go into this to keep you protected. And no, it's not just a piece of hardware. There's a lot more to it than that. Go to denveritsecurity.com/KLZ or klzradio.com.
The average hacker spends 45 days inside a network before launching their attack. 45 days lurking in the darkness, stealing credentials, pilfering data, deleting backups, gathering intelligence about operations, and preparing a strategy to best monetize their newfound treasure. 45 days. Early detection and a swift response is the best defense against cyber attacks. A trained response team will watch for unusual activity and quickly take action to thwart an attacker's scheme. The right combination of prevention and detection is the best defense against cyber attacks. If the prospect of hackers living in your network concerns you, schedule a free consultation with John Cannata today by visiting denveritsecurity.com/KLZ. That's denveritsecurity.com/KLZ.
Business equipment sales, solutions, and service customers are more than a number. Countless quality online reviews show that their technicians can be trusted. For the BES team, it's about the bigger picture in the community rather than the day-to-day sales.
We do have a program right now called Thanks a Lot, and it's essentially a referral program. If you refer us out to anybody and it results in a service call or an equipment sale, you can get up to a $200 Visa gift card. For a service call, I think it's a $25 Visa gift card. If it does result in a machine sale, it's anywhere between $50 and $200. It helps everybody.
BES employs technicians that have kept Colorado's businesses running since 2004 with full service maintenance on a per call basis. When you run into trouble, you can trust Business Equipment Sales, Solutions, and Service to devote time to help you solve the problem. Go to BESofColorado.com for a solution just for you.
Live and local, back to Rush to Reason.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, with us today as well. MoneyAnswers.com is his website. Craig in Wheat Ridge, you're next, sir.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
How are we doing?
Hi, Craig.
Jordan, there's a term being bandied about called quantitative easing as a solution to the inflation. Could you explain what that is? I'm going to just hang up and listen since I'm driving here.
Great. Thanks, Craig.
It's not
Appreciate quantitative
easing. It would be quantitative tightening. We've had quantitative easing, meaning...
Inject cash.
When we brought interest rates down to zero, as we did after the pandemic hit, the Fed didn't have any more tools to ease money into the economy by lowering interest rates. So they printed money, basically, and put it out through bond purchases, $120 billion a month. That's quantitative easing. That has ended, and now they're doing quantitative tightening, where those bonds, they were buying more and more bonds every month. Now they're selling bonds, or bonds that are maturing. They're not reinvesting the money, so it's taking some of the money supply out.
Right.
Their balance sheet went from about $1 trillion in 2008 to over $9 trillion now. So over time, they want to be reducing that and get some of that money, soak up some of that money out of the economy. So that's quantitative tightening, what they're doing right now.
Right. They're doing the opposite of what they did back then. So to answer your question, Craig, they actually are doing that as we speak.
Yes. As of June 1st, they're going to start reducing their balance sheet. Slowly.
It's like, what, 45? Is it 45 billion a month or so? Is that what I heard?
A month. But remember, they were buying 120 billion a month for several years. So they got a long way to go to get back to a so-called normal rate of, their balance sheet should be like 3 trillion, something like that, not 9 trillion.
So, dumb question, because I know folks out there probably are asking the same thing. Where does the money come from their 3 trillion to 9? You know, you said just a minute ago they went from, what was it, 2 or 3 trillion to 9 trillion. Where does the money come from?
They literally print it electronically.
They don't have to print the
bills. It's not on paper. It is created electronically.
Yeah. Manufactured cash, right?
It is. That's what the Federal Reserve does. They have the ability to, you know, create currency. And so what they do is they take that money and they buy, what they were doing was buying bonds, say from banks. And when you buy a bond, the seller of the bond gets the cash.
Right.
So
In this case, the bank is getting cash.
And they use that cash in the economy and making loans and so on.
Right. Doing now what's happening is they're not, which means banks won't be as flush with cash, right?
Correct. But banks are still plenty flush with cash. They've got plenty of cash. You can see it because they're not raising deposit rates. You've noticed that the Fed has been raising lending rates, but the banks are not raising what they're paying on deposits because they got plenty of cash. They don't need to
attract more deposits, right?
Banks do not need money right now, no.
To your point, if they did, they'd be paying you more to put money in their bank. They're not.
They would try to attract it, but they're not doing that. So their profit margins widen because they get to charge more in loans, which are tied to the prime rate, which just went up and will go up more. But what they pay in deposits is not tied to anything. It's whatever the banks want to do, and they're really happy paying zero.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the cash side of it, we kind of left off the last segment, you know, talking about cash. And I know that for the majority of, you know, investors and so on, having cash where it's not really doing, you know, to your point a moment ago, put that money in the bank, you're not really making any money off of that money, but you have it. And I'm one, and I'm even telling some of my business clients that right now, going into the season that I feel we're moving into, having cash, whether it be just to make sure you survive what's happening and or take advantage of some of the opportunities that may come along, having cash is not a bad idea. Your thoughts?
There are places to earn higher yields on cash than, you know, the bank where you're earning zero, basically. For example, Marcus, which is owned by Goldman Sachs, I think they're paying about 2%. There's something called Consumers Credit Union that's paying about 4% these days. So there are some places to earn a little bit on your cash. It doesn't have to sit there and earn zero.
Jordan, what are the catch on those things, though? I mean, do you have to leave it with them a certain amount of time?
No.
How does that work?
No, completely liquid. Completely liquid.
Is accessibility good? I mean,
totally. It's completely liquid, and you can write checks on it and get it ATMs anytime. There's really no catch as such.
Okay.
I'm trying to make you money, Andy.
Thank you.
Don't resist.
Yeah, no, all of this helps. The other thing, too, that I've been a big one on with, again, my clients, Jordan, and I don't do with them what you do. I'm more on the business side and how can we make the business run efficiently and make more profit and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, all of what we're talking about affects them as well. But as businesses, I'm also telling them, you know, create as much cash as you can, and where you possibly can, reduce your bad debt. I mean, if you got a mortgage on your building and things like that, that's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, actual bad debt, credit cards, things along those lines where it's not helping the business, get rid of those. Your thoughts there?
Well, indeed. Credit cards, both business and individual, are tied to the prime rate. And the prime rate has gone up, and it's going to go up a lot more. So it's going to get more expensive to have money on credit card debt, which is not deductible. So that would be the worst of the debt, I would say. Student loan debt is a big one. We have people starting to graduate now in May, and they're going to be facing a world of a lot of student loan debt. The average is graduating with about $38,000 in student loan debt. And that can take a long time to pay that back. One thing you can do there, you can refinance your student loan debt to get it down to about 2%. There's a place called Splash Financial that'll help you do that. Okay. You can't eliminate it, but you can at least refinance it to some extent. Another big one's medical debt. You don't pay interest on it, but they can be very aggressive in going after you. So yes, all these debts just become more expensive in this environment.
Yeah, no, they do. And so folks, please, if you're, and this is where, and I know, Jordan, you said a moment ago in the last segment that, you know, one of the things that slowed down immensely is, of course, the refinancing on mortgages and so on, which I get. If somebody's got a fairly low interest rate, they typically don't want to mess that up. Although I'm of the opinion of I would rather have somebody refinance, even if it raises their principal amount, even if their interest rate goes up slightly, you know, a point, point and a half at the end of the day, but they eliminate all the things that you're talking about, they're still better off at the end of the day. And if they can pull some cash out that they now have some liquidity with, I would still tell them to do that.
Maybe, but the thing is, what you're doing with that is you're converting short-term debt into long-term debt.
Agree.
If you take a mortgage out, which is a 30-year loan or 15-year loan, and you use that money to pay off credit card debt, you feel good, and then you spend up the credit cards again. You're now paying
you can't do
interest
that.
For 30 years on
your
credit
cards. No, you can't do that. No, you can't. You have to be people that are listening to me, you'd have to be very disciplined and not allow that to happen. I'm just one right now, Jordan, where not knowing what's around the corner, well, actually, I think I do know what's around the corner. We're going to be in a recession because that's the direction the Fed is pushing us. So in that case, I'm one where, especially if you're somebody relying on somebody else's income, i.e. you work for someone else, I would want to make sure I've got some stash of cash around to make it through a rough time in case you don't have a job.
Yes, but there are ways of doing it. I mean, if you can get a home equity loan, for example,
true.
That it's ready for you.
True.
If you need it. You don't want to be paying interest on something you don't until you need it, I would say.
Agree.
So, yes, having some cash is good to get you through.
Those are for the individuals that can do that. Keep in mind, not everybody has that ability to do that.
I mean, there are other things you can borrow against. You can borrow against a life insurance policy if you've got cash value in your life insurance policy. You can borrow against your 401k at work. As long as you stay at work, if you leave the job, you have to pay it back within 60 days.
Okay.
So there are other assets you could potentially borrow against. I agree. Going into a rough time, you want to have cash reserves as a kind of buffer.
Yeah, I mean, because and where I'm going with that is, if you've got a regular, I never have had, but if you've got a regular job and there's a, quote unquote regular paycheck coming in, but you're relying on somebody else to make that paycheck happen, hours and so on. I mean, maybe you don't lose your job, but maybe hours get cut back. I mean, all sorts of things in these times happen. And I'm just one where make sure that you're prepared for the worst. And if it doesn't happen, okay, you're good. No matter,
right.
Who cares?
And a lot of people are not prepared for the worst. They've taken on a lot of debt. They don't have that much in savings. Their housing costs have gone up for rent and electricity and heat and all those kind of things.
Right.
Their costs for gasoline and food have all gone up, and they're really pretty stretched here. So that does not put people in good position to handle adversity that's coming.
Hey, Jordan, and if you want to answer this question after the break, that's fine too. What about precious metals? What's your stance going into a time like this? Gold, but especially silver. I mean, do you see that as good, bad, indifferent? Just where do you
think? It should be helped by inflation.
Right.
Gold is about 1875, something like that. I mean, you would have thought it would have had a bigger rise, over 2000 with inflation at 8% plus. But it's considered a safety haven to some extent. So, yes, I think it makes sense to have gold. You can have physical gold if that makes you feel better. You can certainly do the gold exchange-traded fund like a GLD. You can do GDX, which is the gold mining shares. So, yes, I think in this environment, gold is going to do well. Uncertainty and all this inflation is good for gold. We thought that Bitcoin was going to be like an alternative to gold, and it acted that way for a while. But lately, it's been acting like the NASDAQ.
Right.
It's not been a safety haven as people thought it might be.
Right. All right. We'll be right back. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, is with us. Up next, Absolute Electrical Heating and Air. Again, one way you can save, and a lot of you will be turning on your air conditioning if you haven't already, is save money by making sure it's working as efficiently as possible. And Absolute has a great deal right now, $49 for your AC tune-up as we head into spring. 720-526-0231 or klzradio.com.
You spend a lot of money on your furnace. Now make sure your investment pays off for years to come. Sign up for an Absolute Advantage membership to maintain your HVAC systems. Now free to KLZ listeners for the first year. Call 720-526-0231. The team at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air provides long-term customer service, meaning they don't focus on a one-time sale. They want to become your preferred home services partner for the lifetime of your furnace and beyond. To prove their commitment, they're offering free Absolute Advantage memberships to KLZ listeners for the first year, a $369 value. Receive waived dispatch fees during normal business hours, discounted after-hours service fees, a free yearly furnace maintenance and safety inspection, and more. Sign up for the Absolute Advantage membership now. Call 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Folks, if you're in the market for windows and doors, again, one of those ways to save money summertime and wintertime, especially if you've got windows that are really old and you can feel the drafts and so on, huge advancements made when it comes to doors and windows. Veteran Windows and Doors, they use Provia Windows and Doors. Call 303-529-0720 or find them at klzradio.com.
Veteran Windows and Doors proves that you can save people money while maintaining high standards. Owner Dave Bancroft believes product and service should stand alone. You shouldn't need to manipulate customers into spending more money. So when the company he worked for started hiring psychiatrists to train their sales staff, he left. Naming his own company after his military service, Veteran Windows and Doors, Dave chose to focus on quality rather than volume. He stands behind his product and service with a transferable lifetime warranty on all windows and doors, plus a 5-year guarantee on labor above and beyond the industry standard. Dave doesn't hire salespeople. Instead, he visits every customer personally to educate them on the product. Without the overhead of a giant sales team, Dave can offer the same high-quality windows and doors for a fraction of the price. No gimmicky pitches, no hiked-up prices, just quality windows and doors with service straight from Dave. Call Veteran Windows and Doors for a comparison quote now. 303-529-0720.
An absentee-owned business is better than one you need to work every day. When it comes time to sell your company, the potential buyer doesn't want to have to work there. They want it to run itself. You need to think about your future and the future of your company. When you're a small business owner, you keep big business in check. You're a vital part of the local and national economy. Your responsibility as a small business owner is to be an active participant in the planning of your business. If you don't know how to plan for the future, that's okay. Call John Rush. He can show you how to make your business more profitable or even sellable, if that's the plan. Email John at rushmediainc.com for a free 1-hour consultation.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, and we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. And Jordan, if you will, for a lot of these links and things, folks, that we're talking about, I know things fly by. You're in the car. You've got a lot of things going on. We will put those in our show notes. We'll put them up on the website later tonight. So, Jordan, after the show, if you think about it, just send me, you know, whatever sure. links you want us to share, and I'll make sure that we put those up on the website a little later this evening.
Very good.
Perfect.
Good idea.
All right, so... Andy, you're talking about precious metals, silver, gold, some of those things. Crypto did not become the replacement for those, Jordan, and you're correct, although a lot of folks thought they would. What are your thoughts there, Jordan, as to why they haven't? Because let's face it, there were a time when everybody, even the richest man in the world, was talking about that being a replacement for the dollar.
Well, it's not going to replace the dollar, but it could be.
Some of them thought it was.
Have a replacement for gold.
How about
to some
the
extent
ruble?
As a safety haven.
Could it replace the ruble?
Yeah, the ruble's gone down a lot more than crypto. Crypto's gone down a half. Ruble's gone down like 99% or something. So
yeah,
they're both the same direction. But, well, crypto is limited. For example, Bitcoin, the most that can ever be created is 21 million Bitcoin. And there's
right.
about 19 million out there today. So there is a scarcity value to it. And I think in the long run, it's going to go back up. But it's become a kind of speculative asset instead of a transfer of value kind mm-hmm. of asset. And we were in a speculative phase where everything was going up and the high-tech stocks and the initial public offerings and the SPACs and just all this stuff was going on, venture capital. And that's over now with the Fed Reserve tightening rates and tightening up the money supply. And so that took the air out of the crypto bubble. So, I mean, again, I'd keep some money in there long-term, but just realize it's very volatile day to day.
Well, Jordan, there's timing is involved in this as well. I mean, the forces that you mentioned that are in play that have driven crypto down, they're still in play. So I would assume it's going to go lower. Where do you think people should start considering maybe buying in? Because like you said, you're right. It probably will go back up. There's a limited supply.
It is. It's very hard to do short-term predictions of crypto. People didn't think it would go down this far, this fast. I think in the short term, it still got downward momentum. But if it got down to like 20,000, something like that, I mean, you don't have to buy a complete Bitcoin. You can buy
right.
fractions
right.
of one.
Right.
So, you know, something in that range, I think, would be a pretty good bargain. You can see how fast it snaps back. I mean, even this year, it started at about 40,000, went up to 60,000, then went down to 30,000, then it went back up to about 45,000, now it's down to 30,000. I mean, it's volatile. It's very volatile moment to moment.
No, it is, and I'm with you. I think it's got more room, unfortunately, to go down. I own a little bit of it just to be able to watch it and see what's going on with it in that regard. And I've watched it do everything you've said it's done. And we do know, though, at one point in time, Jordan, when I wasn't trying to be funny a minute ago, literally there were people like Elon Musk and others talking about how crypto could replace the almighty dollar. Nothing at this point could be farther from that.
No, we need something more stable, not less stable. Now, there are so-called stable coins, which don't fluctuate as much, but they're not going to replace the dollar. There's a lot of things wrong with the dollar, but there is not another replacement. I mean, what are we going to do, the Chinese yuan right now? The Chinese are in real trouble here with closing their economy down.
Sure do. Yep, sure are.
So yeah. The euro, I mean, Europe's not in great shape either. There isn't another currency close to the dollar. So it's a real advantage for us to have the dollar as the world reserve currency. That gives us a lot of advantages.
Yeah, this talk that was even going on a few weeks ago about trading oil in other currencies, that pretty much went away.
Well, I think Russia and China and India are trading it in other currencies. I mean, Russia doesn't have a lot of dollars right now. Russia doesn't have a lot of things. I heard they're selling their oil to India at like 70% off because it's like nobody wants to take it, and India's willing to take a bargain. They don't seem to care about war atrocities and things. They're just buying the cheap oil. So Russia's really, really getting hurt by this because their main source of income is oil and gas, and now there's an official sanctioned ban against it by Europe and America.
Speaking of all of that, where else do you... I mean, I was reading an article I was telling somebody about right before we came on air today, actually. I was reading an article this morning about, you know, we all know there's chip shortages across the world, and there's another rare product that comes out of the Ukraine-Russia area that goes into making chips, not just the...
I think it's called neon.
No, it's not even neon. It's another rare... I don't even want to call it a metal, Jordan. I got to research more to figure out exactly what it is.
Rare earth. Rare earth metals or strategic minerals. Yes.
Yeah, and but it's not like we normally would think when it comes to making batteries and things like that. It is a rare earth product made just for when they produce silicon chips. And again, there's a big supply shortage of that coming out of Ukraine, Russia right now, which again is going to be another hit on the chip manufacturing and anything. So what else do you see getting
rolls
hit?
It's well dead because a lot of cars are sitting on parking lots in the car makers because the car are finished except for the chips.
Yep.
And that is going to continue, I think.
I think you're right on that.
Is it possible, I guess I'm asking both of you this, so I'll ask Jordan first and John, that we could see some of these auto manufacturers actually scale down the tech, at least temporarily.
They already are. Already happening.
Yeah,
yes.
But I mean,
this is the core. This is electronic today. They're not going to bring back pulleys and gears.
I was thinking more Flintstones with the feet underneath.
But what they are doing, and to Andy's point, you know, there's certain models where you may not be able to get your steering wheel heater like you once could, or you may not be able to get seat heaters like you once did. They are slowing some of that tech down to get some cars produced and at least make some money. But you're right, Jordan. They can't take all of it out because that's the way they function now.
Totally. And it is more efficient. When you have the chips, it's an efficient way of doing it. It makes for efficiency or... audio system is better. It's got better braking. I mean, chips are really good at making cars safe and efficient and so on. So,
and real quick, by the way, it's
a shame that we don't have enough chips right now.
And by the way, for all those folks that are listening, that the name or the acronym for the product I was talking about a moment ago is PFAS. And do not ask me how to pronounce it because it's a very long name.
It's a chemical.
Yeah, that they use in the chip. It's an etching. It's in the chip etching process. This chemical is used for that, and there's a shortage of that now. So to your point, Jordan, and I'm with you, by the way, and all these people that there was some news out today where, you know, used car prices at the Manheim auctions are down 6.6% from where they were in January, and some guys tweeting that, you know, that's a sign that used car prices have really peaked and they're going to start falling back off. And by the way, being a car guy myself, nothing saying is farther from the truth. That is a very misleading tweet and is not accurate at all, because everything you just said, Jordan, is spot on.
There's still a shortage of used cars.
Yes, there is. There is.
And new cars. I mean, new cars because they can't get the chips. But it's almost like the housing market. There's more demand than there is supply.
That is correct.
You get a car today, and you might have to wait months to get it if you have to work from the factory.
You're correct. And as always, and I'll explain some of this a little bit later in the show as far as what this particular individual is missing when they tweet something. But my point is this. Whenever you see a tweet come out, especially when it comes to, you know, financial things and things of that sort, you got to look at all sides of the aisle, I guess you could say, Jordan, because I could pick all sorts of data out and say, oh yeah, look at this. Well, does that necessarily mean that's what's going on in this particular case? No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I think that's true. I mean, when there weren't enough new cars being produced, then people wanted to buy used cars. Used car prices went up 20-30%, you know, dramatically, and there was a shortage of them as well. So it's just part of the whole thing we talked about at the beginning. It's one of the reasons for inflation is there's not enough goods and too much money chasing them.
So at what point, and this is just more of a question for you when it comes to the stock market itself, and the one thing I've not been able to figure out, at what point do the, you know, original equipment manufacturers, in our case in the U.S., GM and Ford, start being honest about what their future actually looks like, quit painting these pie-in-the-sky pictures that their output's going to be the same as it was in, you know, 2022, because the reality, Jordan, is it's not. I think they're actually lying to the stockholders, the shareholders. At what point in time do they start getting honest again?
Well, not now. They are putting out these. I mean, obviously, they're the big story with the car makers is a switch to electric cars. I think GM says they're going to have a complete electric car line by 2035, something like that.
2030 is what they're really trying to do, yes.
Yeah, but Ford, and you know, this is the direction they're going. Well, that's got advantages, but it's also going to put a lot of strain on the
It's got advantages, but yet they're still not looking at, you know, the buying public, even right now, they're still only selling at most, depending upon what part of the country you're in, at most 5% of all vehicle sales are EV. They're not even, I mean, even Ford, they've got big numbers they're going to post up for the Lightning, some 150,000 units they plan on making for 2023. The reality, though, Jordan, that I guess most people don't understand, they make a million regular F-150s, so that's still a fraction of what they put out.
I thought some states, isn't California requiring that there be no emissions by cars by 2030, something like that?
Same as here in Colorado, yes.
So that's going to put a lot of pressure on them unless those laws are changed.
Well, no,
what'll
happen, and it won't happen everywhere, but here in Colorado, we're actually close enough to several other states where if somebody wants a car, they'll order it someplace else and have it drug in.
But you're not supposed to bring in emissions-producing cars.
Here in our state, that won't be against the law. It probably won't be smiled upon, but it won't be against the law. If you want to go up to Cheyenne and buy a car and drive it back down here, you'll be able to.
This is just causing a tremendous disruption in the whole market.
It's stupid.
Tremendous. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on the electrical grid for all the demand for and that it's being shifted. Maybe the car isn't emitting things, but the oil and gas electric generating places are setting emissions. So it's not eliminating
emissions. There's no net gain here, and I've done the math on this, Jordan. There's no net gain when it's all said and done. It's a feel-good measure is all it is.
That's right. That's right.
That's it.
So that's the car market. It's being disrupted terribly here. And meanwhile, back at Realitiesville, I mean, we had today gas at an all-time record high. I think it was $4.39, something like that, on a national basis. And we're just about to hit the driving season.
Which is, you know, the odd part about that, and the one thing that I've delved into some, but I haven't got all the answers I need. We're only at $100 a barrel right now on oil. Well, actually, less now than the last time you and I chatted.
But it's roughly $100 a barrel, and that has not fully worked its way through the system to the pump. And now, in the driving season, when you start hitting in May, when you have more demand because people are going on vacations, so, and that puts more upward pressure on demand. So I think the national average is going to be in the $5-plus range, you know, in 2 months or so. It's already at the record levels right now.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't disagree with that. In all the while, oil staying around $100 a barrel, maybe $105, $110, but it's not going to fluctuate much out of that, I don't think.
I think it could go higher. I really do because, I mean, for example, right now, China is kind of locked down. What happens if China starts reopening again? There's going to be a lot more demand for oil.
Well, right? But you know, and if you, but if you read some of the tea leaves on that, you know, the you know, EAU has already talked about upping their production even next month in June. So that you're going to see more supply come into the market.
OPEC is not producing that much more. Nothing close. Russia produces about 4.5 million barrels a day. OPEC may increase like 500,000 barrels, something like that.
Hey, nothing maybe we could buy some from India. I hear they've gotten it real cheap.
They have gotten it real cheap. In fact, they are doing that. They are buying it cheap from Russia and then reselling it at a profit. You know the Indians. They're very good at traders.
Yeah, can't say as I blame them. Keep in mind also, one last thing to throw into this is, and we look at this all the time, rig count is also continues to climb. I look at this on a weekly basis. We're at 705 right now. So, you know, rig count is up eventually. Now, when will this happen? But eventually we're going to see a reprieve on some of this because more oil supply is going to come in from all over the world, by the way, not just the U.S.
It's not what it normally would be. With oil at $100 a barrel, you'd much normally have a much higher rig count than it is today.
Well, and you got to have
drillers
permits
are being
to drill.
Discouraged from drilling. We should have at least 1,000 rigs.
I agree.
Out there.
I agree.
But it's considered politically incorrect to be drilling today. It's all about climate change. And the result is we don't have enough oil. We could be energy independent. We were energy independent before.
Yes.
And we gave it away.
Correct statement.
All right. So taking money out of the strategic oil reserve is not the solution.
Yeah, that's not the answer. We already know that. So back to the average person out there that's listening to us, trying to figure out, okay, guys, great. I know what the tea leaves say. I know where we're headed. You guys are, you know, doom and gloom today, which we're not. We're just being realistic about where things are economically. Yet they're listening to this saying, great, I've got limited supplies, you know, limited funds. I can only work so many hours at my job. You know, what am I going to do to irk this out and still feed my family, send my kids to school and make things happen at the end of the day? That's what they're really looking at, Jordan.
Well, you've got to, if you don't already have it, do a budget where you can actually see where you spend your money. A lot of people have no clue where they actually spend their money and actually count it out and make choices over where you want to spend your money and where it should go. You may have to put more money into what I would call necessities as opposed to luxuries. And that may mean food and gasoline and rent. And I mean, you know, if you only have so much money, you've got to put it where it absolutely is necessary to go. And that means less eating out and less Rockies games or whatever it may be. I mean, you've got to make some choices.
That's right. No, you got to tighten the belt anywhere you possibly can. And for a lot of families, that means having a nice family meeting and having a discussion with all the powers that be, kids included, so everybody knows exactly where we're headed. And again, until we know exactly what, you know, lies ahead, right now it's a little bit up in the air, although it's not, because everything you just talked about through this last, you know, 45 minutes or so, Jordan, is spot on. So we know what's coming. You might as well tighten your belt and be ready for it.
Exactly. A lot of people like to put blinders on. It'll all be fine somehow. I'll create an NFT and that'll save me, something like that.
Yeah, well,
that's what Andy's solution is.
For He's some, it may.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, for some, it may. For the average person, it's not, and that's where, you know. And again, guys, we have Jordan on a regular monthly basis to work through these things, help you out, talk about the different things that are available to you. You know, consolidate some of the things you have going on, especially debt wise. Be careful where you spend your money. I'm also a big one on, you know, having enough cash to take advantage of opportunities that may come along. And you, when you say opportunities, that's a whole nother, you know, Jordan, probably hour conversation of opportunities that come along. But you know what I mean by that. People during the Depression, some people got filthy rich during the Depression because they had the ability to take advantage of what was going on.
And that's not true in investment. That's true in businesses as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to, there are certain businesses that might thrive in this kind of environment, there could be businesses for sale that might be
very
franchises.
True.
There are ways to take advantage. I mean, just like 2 years ago when the pandemic hit, some businesses did really well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Zoom and Peloton and Etsy and all the things that you were doing from home. And a lot of businesses got wiped out, okay, because nobody was out and the restaurants were closed and all that.
Right.
Now it's the opposite. Now the stay-at-home stocks are not doing as well and people are getting out again. So you have to kind of go with the times.
Oh, very well said. Jordan Goodman, again, America's Money Answer Man. He'll send me some of those links. We'll get those posted later tonight so you all have those resources of some of the things even we just went through a moment ago. Lots of things you guys can use to help do the things that we just mentioned during this last, 30 minutes or so. And Jordan, again, it's always a joy having you. We'll navigate this and help all of our listeners navigate what's coming, which I do believe it's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't want to sound like a naysayer, but I think that's just the reality of things.
Well, we just have to give them the truth, and just as we see it, and I think we've been pretty accurate in what we've been predicting
I so think
far.
You're correct. Spot on. Jordan, as always, thanks, man. I really appreciate it, sir.
Very good.
You bet.
All right, thank you both. Thank you, Randy.
Have a great evening.
Bye.
All right, so let's do this. Hi-Fi Plumbing is coming up next, folks. And, hey, plumbing is a big deal. You want to make sure your plumbing is exiting and entering properly. The water quality is a big deal as well. Make sure that you've got the best quality. And we have a free test that Hi-Fi Plumbing will do for you. Yeah, I said free. No cost. Just call 877-WE-HIGH-FIVE or go to klzradio.com.
You once dreaded calling the plumber. You worried about their integrity, reliability, and overall morals. That was before you knew about Hi-Five. Now you have a plumbing company that shares your core values of giving back to the community. On top of excellent customer service, reasonable pricing, and friendly technicians, Hi-Five Plumbing donates $500 per month to a charitable organization no matter what. That's because the owners, Levi and Cassie, care about the communities they serve beyond potential profits. On top of that, they donate $10 of every Hi-Five Club membership so you can be part of their charitable mission. They even give 100% of the proceeds from all apparel sold to a charitable organization of the staff's choice every month. And they donate 1% of the revenue from a service truck each month. You care about giving back to your community and you need a great plumber. Now you're not scared to call a plumber because they prove they care through customer and community service. Call 877-934-4445. Or 877-WE-HIGH-FIVE for plumbing that gives back.
Golden Eagle Financial, we talked a lot about finances during this last hour. And one person that can help you with the future planning of making sure that you get to retirement and are doing things properly with your money is Al Smith, Golden Eagle Financial, klzradio.com, or call Al directly at 303-744-1128.
Maintain your budgeting momentum for retirement. Once you begin good financial habits, you're more likely to continue them. If you procrastinate, you're likely to continue procrastinating. A good plan will help your financial momentum, allowing you to see numerical projection of what it's going to take. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you strategize a great retirement plan that will include a clear picture of where you are now and an image of what you want your future to look like and include the steps necessary to get you there. With Al Smith's help, you'll learn how much you need to save in order to achieve your financial goals. Provide yourself with income that will last with the momentum of good habits. Al Smith can help people who are newly retired or have a 5 to 10 year window before leaving the labor force. You need to be realistic about your retirement with financial planning from Al Smith at Golden Eagle Financial. Visit klzradio.com/money to maintain or establish budgeting momentum for your retirement.
All right, Michael Bailey's up next. He is our mobile estate planner and wants to help you with all of your estate needs. Call him at 720-394-6887.
Protect your kids from the guesswork. Without a clear legal document describing your wishes, your kids may be left trying to interpret what mom would want them to do. Instead, tell them clearly what mom does want by writing it down with Michael Bailey Law. KLZ's mobile estate planner understands how life can get in the way, so he's made the process as painless as possible. Book a virtual appointment online. Find a link to Michael Bailey's website at klzradio.com/estate.
American National Insurance, Paul Leuenberger, my agent, would love to help you with all of your insurance needs, which, again, one of the ways to save money is by calling Paul, 303-662-0789.
You are responsible for making sure that you are properly insured, but you're not alone. While Paul Leuenberger believes in personal accountability, he wants to make sure he's setting you up for success as your home and auto insurance agent. Paul will teach you about how you can save money on your premium while being fully covered in case of a loss. Your insurance should be for emergencies, not petty cosmetic issues. Insurance is not a coupon, your bank account, or for maintenance. Paul Leuenberger will tell you that your insurance is for emergencies. And when you work with Paul, you'll be rewarded for your diligence. Ask him about their incentivizing rebate program. Take a higher deductible and take responsibility. It's just one of the ways they can afford to keep their rates low. Take control of your life. Take responsibility for your insurance coverage. Call Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance now at 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. We just spent an hour, roughly, with Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, which Jordan and I were just saying a moment ago. And Jordan, if you're still listening, are you still the same Jordan we used to talk to? Because your tune changed a lot here today from what it's been typically. You're on our side.
Well, there's been a few things that have happened that are kind of stark.
Unfortunately, yes.
Cold water in the face.
Unfortunately, I hate to say that.
Especially in oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. A lot more coming your way. Don't go anywhere, folks. Hour two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.